Hello and welcome back to Talk a Good Game, the Meath Chronicle Sports Podcast. I'm back returning with myself, Tom Dannon, Fred Lynch and Jimmy Gaydon. I think we're going to keep
Hi, Tom.
How are we? How are we, lads?
All right. Yeah, Jimmy's second week in a row. He's on a roll.
His third week, actually.
We were saying before, we're going to keep it a little bit tighter today because Fred Lynch has to fly up the M50 to the under-20s game this evening.
It's a long day. I was just saying to the boss there a few minutes ago, it's not something that is that happens too often that you have two match reports involving the same team in the same competition in the same paper. So in tomorrow night's paper, we'll have a report from last Tuesday night's semi-final win over Kildare. Brilliant performance against the defending All-Ireland champions in Hawkfield. I think there was four of the Kildare team that started the All-Ireland under-20 final last year against Sligo, started against Meath last Tuesday, and there was another three or four that came on as subs in that game in the All-Ireland final started as well. So it was a really impressive win for Meath last week. But in tomorrow night's paper, now we'll have the final, which is tonight's game against Louth. Again, it's a bit like the boys are saying on the We Are Meath, but it depends when you're listening to this podcast.
Yeah.
If you're listening to it tomorrow morning, but Tuesday morning, then the final was last night. But Monday, as we're recording, we're playing Louth tonight in Partholchin, a Louth team that bet a fancy Dublin team. But I think the Dublin team is more fancied on reputation of Dublin, more so than anything else, at minor level, which is 3 years ago, which is these players now. Dublin weren't great shapes at that stage. Now, I know they beat Meath earlier in the championship in a kind of a nothing game. But Louth seemed to be the real deal. It won't be easy going up here. When Meath played them at minor level in 2021, is that when we won that all early? Yeah, 2021. Meath beat Louth by 3 or 4 points that day. So we'll be expecting the tough game tonight. And it's on TG Carr. So if you're getting to hear this podcast now before the game tonight and you can't get up to the Parnell Park, watch it. This is an exceptional Meath football team. And I tell you, I know I'm an eternal optimist. And if you're listening to some of the comments that you get or I get on Twitter where people say, oh, he never has a bad word to say. Well, I'm not somebody who, I don't see what's the point in publicly going over the top on fellas. But I like to accentuate the positives. And there's a lot to be positive about this Meath under 20 team. Especially young Eamon Armstrong is under 20 for, he's only a minor last year, so he's under 20, I think, for the next 3 years. So this year, next year, and the year after, he really is going to be an exciting young player, you know. And you see him playing that wing back position. As somebody sent me a message today, he would remind you of a young Graham Geraghty, the way he played. Really good footballer. Jamie Murphy from St. Pat's in the full forward line, an excellent target man, really accurate. Rian Stafford came in the last day, did really well. Rian McConnell from Castletown, really good player. Then through the spine of the defence, Liam Kelly, who was captain in the minor team that won the All-Ireland, brilliant full back, real tenacious cornerback in Conor Ennis. Unfortunately, Brian O'Halloran is out, but in Conor Ennis, a brilliant cornerback along with Sean O'Hare, Killian Smith in the other wing back position as well. And you have dominant midfielders. Charlie O'Connor has done really, really well there in midfield, and Jack Kinlock as well. So, you know, Hughie Corcoran inside is a dynamic little attacker as well. And you know, I love to see diminutive corner forwards, fellas that aren't, you know, the most massive men in structure or in stature. But when they get on the ball, they're so threatening and so dangerous. And that's what Hughie Corcoran is like. And on the other end, that's what Conor Ennis is like as well. But really exciting team. And to think, you know, these boys have to come through at senior level, and you add them to the fellas that are already in there at senior level. The future for Meath, in maybe not next year or the year after, but when these boys start hitting 23, 24 years of age, I think we could be in for exciting times again.
Have you looked into it all, the... Because I'm not sure on this now, I should ask you this one. Parnell Park is the venue. If Dublin had won that semi-final, would it have been in Parnell Park, or does it have to be a neutral venue? Do you know?
As far as I know, it was scheduled. It's always been scheduled for Parnell Park. It's live on TG Cahir, as I said. So in terms of venues around the province that are capable of lights and cameras for their action. So sure, for, when you weigh in lights, camera and action, Parnell Park is probably the best venue. Me don't mind going up there. We've won games up there. I know you'd say, right, okay, you'd have to play Dublin, but at the end of the day, they're the white lines and two goals on either end of the field. It's not as if the Dubs flopped to Parnell Park to support their county team. There's probably as many Dubs would be in Park Tulchin if Dublin were playing than will be in Parnell Park, because the demographics of the two counties.
It's our other noisy neighbours.
It's our other noisy, and they'll bring a massive crowd. They're expecting, there could be 4,000 or 5,000 here tonight, which would be a huge crowd, and that would be a huge loud support. I think it's 1996 since they last met, but I think the last time Meath were in an under 20/21 final was 2001.
Right.
I'm open to correction on that, could be wrong, but it's a long time, and Loud is even longer. I think it's 46 or 48 years ago since Loud were in an under 20/21 final. So it's a big occasion for both counties, and good to get a little bit of that dominance of Dublin and Kildare has finally been broken.
Yeah, hopefully it'll be a good clash anyway. Jimmy, you were at the hurling at the weekend.
Hurling at the weekend.
Speaking of good clashes.
Well, it was a dispiriting experience, Tom. Fair going, to be honest with you, because you guys, it's terrible. One of the worst sights in sport, in any sporting context, is to see one team completely dominate the other. And it's pretty, when you're part of one county and you're in Trim and you're a home ground, and to see a team, just a different stratosphere, different level whatsoever.
It was Mead.
Leash were.
Mead 7-29.
7-29 to 1-16.
Yeah.
And, it was... it's another one of these setbacks that brings up all sorts of questions about Meath hurling, where we're at, what's going on to try and arrest days like that. Now, I know they've come into this game on the back of a terrible few weeks of disruption with Saoirse Bulfin leaving and so on. But there's another story behind that. We'll talk about that maybe next week further. But certainly, and they're playing awfully, because they're playing awfully the weekend. So, I mean, that's only, you're going up to another level. Yeah. I know Leash did beat Offaly, but I mean,
narrowly,
two late goals, actually. Yeah. But Offaly did dominate that from what I've...
Well, I think Leash dominated the early stages, I think, of that game, and didn't punish Offaly.
Well, I was talking to a man there, a Leash man, actually, who was a hurling man.
They're cute words.
And he said, Offaly did all the hurling. Now, he wasn't attached to the team, he was just there, but he Offaly was attached to, did all the hurling anyway. So,
Jimmy, Meads, it's been tough enough for Mead hurling, not only losing, the disruption of the manager, which was brought about by, players really wanting a change. So the change of manager, they got what they wanted there.
So we understand, yeah.
And there is also then the fact that, earlier in the year, or towards the end of last year, there was 17 players gone off a panel that had won the Christy Ring Cup. They're huge enough obstacles as it is. Well, we were talking at lunchtime in... This is the fifth year, I think, I was trying to figure it out, the fifth year that Meath have competed in the Joe McDonagh Cup. And in the actual Joe McDonagh Cup themselves, in those 5 years, we've only won one game, which was against Kerry in 2021. And ironically, as it was, had we scored one more goal in that win, we would have actually qualified for the Joe McDonagh Cup final on scoring difference. But we didn't. And... the only other game that we won in this second tier level was a relegation playoff against Kildare. The other times we were in it, our first year was in it, was 2018. We got relegated, won the Christy Ring in 2019, played in it in 2020. There was no relegation in 2020. In 2021, we survived with the relegation playoff against Kildare.
One victory.
And had another win, had a win over Kerry 2022
in the playoffs.
Yeah, and Kildare in the relegation playoff, Kerry in the group stage. 2022, lost the five games, got relegated, won the Christy Ring Cup in 2023, and here we are in 2024. So let's face it, probably going to lose the five games.
We're not capable
of competing at Joe McDonagh Cup level. We have one win in about 21 or 22 games in the Joe McDonagh Cup.
So I mean, but what do you do? We're probably at our best. We're probably too good for Christy Ring. So we're in this limbo. And what can we do to get out of that? That's what the county board really, it's an issue the county board have to address and try and...
Well, is it a case that some of the teams maybe that are in the Joe McDonagh Cup are too strong? Obviously, it is a case that some of the teams in Joe McDonagh Cup are too strong, that there's nearly a case for another tier in between the Joe McDonagh Cup and the Christy Ring for those four or five teams there that...
Well, it's like Burnley. Is there four or five teams? Probably is, yeah. But then again, you need somebody in the Christy Ring as well. So
yeah, well, you could do. There's probably, you know, the likes of Derry and London and Meath. Derry, London, Meath. And then bring maybe Carlow and if Westmeath down into it. You know, or sorry, a Kerry maybe, or a Down. One of the two of them. But having Leash, Westmeath, who are flying... and awfully in a second tier competition against teams that aren't close to their standard.
Yeah, but how are we going to ever get up to their standards if we don't play them regularly? But you're never going to get up to their standards
if we keep getting promoted, then relegated, losing all our games, like one win in 20 odd games.
Well, I think we would have done an awful lot better if, for example, we hadn't lost those 17 players, if there was some sort of consistency from last year in both players, in panel and management. All the management left, not just the manager as such, the whole management team left. And that's not good, you know, it's not good. There's a story behind that, but that's a separate story. But
what we're led to believe as well, the manager that was there, Saoirse Bulfin, that was there, he wasn't there to win us the Joe McDonagh Cup. That was never going to happen. We were never going to win the Joe McDonagh Cup.
No, he
was there was to develop a style and a culture in Meath hurling to try to bring it up to the next level. Like, let's face it, Saoirse Bulfin has a strong CV working with some of the very best in hurling in the country. And we dismiss him because I don't know why. Some people didn't like the style of hurling, some people didn't like the training, some people didn't like the commitment, maybe not just the players, maybe those few people on a county board level, not necessarily saying on the executive, but maybe a county board level that, you know, mightn't have seen eye to eye with them and thought, oh, maybe, you know, this isn't for us. Maybe they didn't fancy spending the money on them. Maybe they did. I don't know. This is just speculation. But I think he was the sacrificial lamb there that was thrown to the wolves because things didn't go well in the National League. And that plan or that structure that was in place to bring Meath hurling on in the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years was thrown out with the bathwater there. I'm really rolling out the cliches here. Yeah. But it was thrown out with the bathwater so now where are we? We're left with Stephen Clinch, a Meath hurling legend, in a temporary interim position. Like, Stephen Clinch doesn't want to be the Meath senior hurling manager. But he wasn't going to leave them in a lurch.
No, he had to step in.
And he did step in, and fair play to him. But he's had 2 weeks to try and stamp his...
Well, it's impossible. He's in an impossible situation. He hasn't had the time to impose any kind of...
I actually feel sorry for him, especially when you see the hiding that his team are getting at the weekend.
I just want to wrap quickly back around to the grading there in terms of John McDonagh and that... Like, Leash, from their perspective, they wouldn't have gotten out of that game yesterday. Like, they want to be up competing for the Liam McTaggart with Dublin. And, do you know what I mean? They see themselves at that level.
Yeah.
That game yesterday is doing nothing for them. It's doing nothing for us. There's a real case for regrading there, isn't there?
I can see Leash... Like, okay, Leash saying, yeah, we want to be competing for the Liam McCarthy Cup. Leash haven't hoped in hell of ever winning the Liam McCarthy... Well, I won't say ever, but in our lifetime of winning the Liam McCarthy Cup. But the second tier is where they should be. Meath shouldn't be in that second tier. So Leash should be winning or competing with your Offaly's, your Westmead, your Kerry's for the Joe McDonagh Cup. Meath should be competing for the Kit Mitchell Cup.
You can't deny Meath the chance for off at least aspiring to go compete at the second tier. And back to the point, we would be probably competing a lot better if we had the players from last year and we had the continuity.
But you mean last year we struggled to beat Sligo, Donegal, the year before against Tyrone.
Christy Ring.
Yeah, I know. But that's who we struggled to overcome them teams. So what makes us think that even with those players, that in the space of 12 months we can go from struggling to beat a Sligo or a Donegal or a Mayo or a London, actually lost to London, to then go and play and compete against Leash, Westmead, who are at that other level
above
Westmead
now, there's a window of opportunity still there for me, believe it or not, because Westmead have lost there too much. Now, it's unlikely. But if they can get a win against Westmead or Kerry, it's possibly. Now, this is the most extreme optimistic.
Jimmy, even I'm the most optimistic person in the world. And it pains me to say it, but what success for Meath at this stage is, forget about the Offaly game, is getting within 10 points of the other two teams.
Well,
tell me this, Padraig Hanrahan picked up an injury there, and he'd be a lot, as he knows.
Injury. Look, I mean, I don't know if it's broken or not, but it looked a serious enough injury. Yeah, so he is
massive loss. Like,
massive loss.
The performance he put in the week before.
Yeah. He can't, and they have very good free takers, James Torr, Nicky Potterton, and so on. So they have free takers. So that area is covered.
But the black card for James Torr, again, I know it wasn't the winning or losing of the game, but it was a huge turning point. Meath were only 4 points down, five minutes before halftime. What did they concede while Torr was off the field?
About two, because it was the other side. They conceded two goals and a series of a lot of points. Yeah, I mean, it faded away from them.
Yeah.
So
they went from being 1-10 to 1-6 down to being 3-20 to...
This is part of new rule as well, that it was a harsh decision, I think, because the player...
Yeah, it was.
You might have seen it from the angle of the stand, on the TV screen or whatever, because you were watching it on...
I watched it on Clubber.
But from our angle, it looked like there was cover there, already there, you know.
Yeah.
And the goal, the referee deemed...
It's the same with the penalty.
There might have been a pat to the goals as well. That's another... Because I was quizzing the fourth official, he was standing beside me, and he was saying, yeah, if there's a pat... clear path to goals as well, and the player is taken down, that's a yellow card and a penalty, even if it's outside the parallelogram.
A
black card and a penalty. Yeah. If there's no...
Clear path.
If it's outside the parallelogram...
Oh, yeah, it's last man. Yeah.
If it's outside. Now, I don't know whether James... It was marginally... It was
the same. Meath got a penalty at the end for the exact same thing.
Yeah.
And it was harsh. It was the same thing. A player pulled down as they were... attacking the goals. I don't know if there was a clear path towards goal, and the Leash player got a black card as well. Now, unfortunately, game was long over at that stage. The penalty was saved.
But the first penalty was a clear path. The referee must have seen a clear path.
Yeah.
Now I didn't, but anyway, that's his decision. It was a controversial decision, but Upton has. I mean, it was a fair point. Yeah, because we were only four down.
Yeah,
four,
one
five
time
down
one
at
six,
that stage.
Yeah.
And we're in the game. Okay, they look like they could move up another few gears at any stage, and that's what you fear. But
Torr was doing well. He was, ball were dropping down the top of him. He was sweeping it up. He was clearing it out. And
he's a classy centre half back.
Yeah,
very good defending and finding delivering passes.
I would just be fearful what beatings like that will do to lads like Mark Horan, who I thought was excellent when he came on, to Tom and Dara Shine, who are young players coming through, really good prospects. Who else were young players in there? Like Nicky Potterton is still only a young fella.
It has to be demoralising
for them. To think, that's a serious hiding that we're after getting. Is this what life as a Meath hurler is, up and down? Like the highs of last year, and I remember saying it last year, Meath were expected to win Division 2B and the Christy Ring Cup. It was still great. Euphoria was there when they won, it was great. But we knew right well going into Division 2A and the Joe McDonagh Cup that we do well to win a game. And we've won one game against Kildare. It didn't stop us from finishing bottom of the division. But can you see anything in the future of Meath Hurling that would encourage those lads to say, you know, like,
well, I do, Fergal, because as I said, that there was an element there of we were only a few points down at that stage, playing some decent rugby decent hurling.
But
I was just writing about a guy who played, who was ex-president of Navan Rugby Club. Anyway, they were playing some decent hurling.
Yeah.
And you know, and then the goal, the first goal now was a defensive error. And you can't do that.
You can't give
them goals. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
The puck outs as well, they have to, you know, I know Stephen has had very little time to work with the players, but the puck outs, it was the way the Leash were structured and the way Meath were structured were worlds apart.
Yeah,
in the puck outs, the intensity Leash could exert as well, the intensity when they got the ball and moved forward, but that's at pace.
My point when you say that being worlds apart, Leash wouldn't be within an ass's roar of Wexford or Kilkenny or Galway, never mind Clare, Waterford or Limerick.
Let's deal with Leash first. Yeah, the Leashes of this world.
But this is what I mean, is how far up, like where, what does a young player see coming up to say, right, I'm going to commit to Meath Hurling and I'm going to do everything I can to it's an honour to wear the Meath jersey, as it should be, no matter what grade or sport you're playing in, should be an honour to wear that.
Well, I think that's another.
But what's the encouragement to a young kid coming up? Like, there's good players in that Meath under 20 team and coming through in the Meath minors and all that the last few years. But the effort and time that those lads put in is just as much effort and time that the Wexford and the Kilkenny and the Galway fellas put in. But where's the reward? Like a 7-29-1-16 defeat by Leash, who are a lower end of, in my belief, are at the lower end of the second tier of Meath Hurling teams.
Well, the reward is winning Christy Ring and those competitions where we can win, that we end up and that's a reward. And okay, you know, the sending out or the black card was an issue, and we can't afford to be without one player for 10 minutes against those teams.
Yeah.
But especially our best player, probably. So that's an issue, but I wouldn't be completely. But it is a general problem overall that the players are not, like, there was a time when you die for a county jersey.
I was just going to say, it's not that long. Well, it is that long ago, but in me and your terms of our lifespan, it's not that long ago since Meath were competing with Limerick and beating Wexford and beating Offaly. You know, we played Limerick up in Trim before, and you're competing and playing against Kilkenny.
I remember playing Kilkenny in Trim. I remember reporting the match. It was actually the same day as Gordon Hamilton scored a try against Australia in the World Cup. Do you remember that?
Easy, Jimmy.
Fergal, you remember that. You're only 5 years younger than me.
You're
15 younger.
50 years younger.
Anyway, that was 1991, Tom.
A little bit before my time.
That same day, pretty sure this now, but I'm sure. But I remember definitely Kilkenny played me in a league game in Trim, and they didn't hammer them.
No,
it wasn't 7-29-1-16.
No, but
mid-90s.
95, Meath bet Wexford. And Wexford the following year went on and won in All Ireland.
It's actually 96, wasn't it?
I think it was in 95 league, and then it was the following year that did Wexford not go on and win? Or was it the year they won the All Ireland?
Was that the Dance Not the Grass?
That was Martin Story and that great Wexford team.
Stopping the bus on the border on the way up to Croke Park, you know, Liam Griffin, they got them out of the bus and just right at the border.
Into Wexford,
But all that stuff, emotional stuff, but it worked for them that year.
So like Meath weren't a million miles away then?
No, they're good, very good.
And it's a bit like the football. Like, don't think that we're sitting here saying, you know, the Meath hurlers should be like the Meath footballers, because we're at the lower end of the second tier of when it comes to football as well. So, but there's something gone wrong, lads, in Meath GA that we have plummeted down the reckoning in both hurling and football. It really is a worry from when, as me and Jimmy were saying, back in the heyday, like you wouldn't have seen the success that we enjoyed as kids growing up. Yeah. You know, like we're so far away from it. I said it on a podcast a few weeks ago, or wrote it in an article. Like we're in the longest stretch now without a provincial title at football level, since the 1800s or the, you know, the early part of the 20th century. We're in the longest spell without one. We're heading into the longest spell without appearing in an All Ireland final, and we're still miles away from it. Now I know I said at the beginning of this podcast that the next 4 or 5 years could see that change.
Yeah.
But it has to.
Things can change, you know, come quickly.
Yeah, well, look at Derry.
At a county level, at Derry or Division 4 or 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, and Limerick hadn't won in All-Ireland since 1973. Now they're going for 5 in a row.
Yeah, yeah, so things can change.
You know, things can change, but we need everybody pulling together, which isn't happening in the hurling front when you see the turmoil that happened with getting rid of the manager and all his management team and the hurling board chairman stepping down. And it's like the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing at times.
Yeah, I know. We need a unity. There's unity, and I think that could, you know, could have been sorted out. But I mean, look, it wasn't, and it moved on. And
but some say it was sorted out.
Well,
they have it now the way they want it. Well, so they have it now the way they want it. It's up to the players and the county board to get behind Mead Hurling, get the trim on Saturday for the game against Offaly. Show support for the team because they're going to need it on Saturday.
Well,
but
yeah,
as Jimmy said,
I feel sorry for the players.
As Jimmy said, there's 2 big games to come after that, with the game against Kerry and the game against Westmead, and they should be the ones now that they're focused on trying to pick up wins.
Before you finish up on that, did you talk about support? What was the attendance like in for the Leash game?
Oh,
poor enough.
200, 300 at the most. I'd say 300.
Also, yeah, you couldn't really. I said I was looking at it. I was looking at the club and on Clubber, and it was very few on the bank on the other
I'd
side.
Say about 300, even the balcony wasn't full, you know, that full
balcony wasn't
occupied with people, so
would that have had anything to do with the game being played in trim? Would there have been more if it had been in Partoche?
Well,
probably
I asked Sean Quigley that, and we might hear Sean Quigley now. And he said no, once you go inside that white line, it's every pitch is more or less the same. It's nice to get to be back in the home of Mead Hurling, as he called it. He referred to it, and you know that's what it is. But
at the
end of the day, it's a pitch to stay.
And Trim is designated, despite what others might tell you, Trim is a designated county ground for hurling. So you know, I heard people saying, "Oh, the game should have been played in the county grounds." Trim is a designated county ground.
Mm.
Trim, Ashburn, and Partoche are the designated county grounds.
Right, Jim.
So you know, there's no reason why he couldn't be played there, but maybe you want to go and play that interview with
Sean. We'll crack on with Sean quickly
Sean, a difficult one I suppose to stomach. There was plenty in the performance last week against Down. I'd imagine coming away from today on the back of a defeat like that, it's hard to kind of pick anything from it.
Yeah, look, it's very disappointing. Obviously, I suppose if we were to pick anything from it, it was probably our opening 20 minutes. I actually thought we battled very well and we hassled very hard. I think around the 25-minute mark, then the call came to give James Thor the black card, and you could see, you know, the impact that had in the game. Leash were able to use the ball a lot better and create more space for themselves. They rattled off a lot of scores on the bounce, and once they got ahead, you know, they had the momentum. It was very, very hard for us to chase back that lead.
That was a huge turning point, because James was doing well in that sweeping position. Obviously, you were playing against the breeze and doing relatively well, as you said, up to that point. And when he went off, the balance was sort of lost, and they really smelled blood and you know, got the huge lead up then.
Yeah, well, look, they're a very good side, and the top teams, you know, they'll punish any sort of error. And losing a guy of the caliber of James Thor is massive for a team like us. You know, his reading of the game is so good, and his distribution of the ball. So when you lose a guy like that, it's very, very difficult. But you know, you have to give credit to Leash as well. They played some very slick hurling out there, and they took their scores well too. So
how hard is it to try and pick yourself up? Because obviously the nature of the competition, it's almost week on week, and ultimately if you are to retain your status, you need to find a result maybe even two, but certainly a result from somewhere awfully to come next week. Is it just about trying to evaporate this one altogether from the system and move on?
Yeah, as you say, the nature of the competition kind of makes it like that. You don't really have too much time to dwell on your performance, be it even a win or a loss, because the games are coming ticking fast. So, look, it's a tough one to take now today. There was a bit of a gap between the sides there in the end. So, you know, we'll regroup come Tuesday evening and we'll just have to go again, try to pick ourselves up for Offaly next Saturday.
Yeah, and obviously it's been a difficult probably year, but even the last couple of weeks, the upheaval and the change of management, I suppose, how has it been with Tisman and the lads coming in, and obviously at such short notice, you know, only in the last 3 or 4 weeks, it's very hard to make radical changes, really.
Yeah, it is. Look, I suppose from our side of things, we don't have any excuses. You know, the guys were probably put in a bit of a difficult position. You know, they're coming straight in into the thickness of the championship, so it is difficult. But the response has been really good, and the buy-in from all the players, their attitudes in training has been really good. Tisman is a well-respected hurling man, as are Trevor and Declan. So we're doing our best, you know. A little bit more time with the guys probably would have been a bit nicer, but it is what it is. So we'll just look forward to Offaly now next Saturday.
A couple of injury concerns to come from today as well. Like Podge went off in the first half there, and obviously Charlie towards the end as well. And the squad is probably threadbare, and maybe you're carrying a few injuries as it is. So it's maybe difficult going in that respect as well.
It has been difficult up to now. Luckily enough, we have a couple of guys coming back next Saturday, all going well. The injuries to Charlie and Podge, I'm not really too sure the extent of them just yet. But again, it kind of goes back to just the nature of the championship. It's very cutthroat. You know, other teams will face the same things, injuries playing week in, week out. So, you know, we'll just reassess ourselves this week and try to pick ourselves up again.
Do you think that with some of the teams maybe dropping away, I'm thinking about Westmeath and the fact that they've maybe lost their first two and they're out of contention in terms of winning the competition, that maybe your objective from the start was always to get safety, that you just could catch a team, if you like, that maybe are on a little bit of a downer after maybe initially not games not going as how they would have planned early in the piece, that you can maybe target games like that further in the competition? I'm thinking about the likes of Kerry and Westmeath in particular. Obviously Offaly are 2-2 ahead of next week, so there'll be a tough note, but going forward,
yeah, look, there probably is, if we're to be realistic about it, there probably was a couple of games there that we were more specifically targeting, and then you have the likes of your Leashes, Offaly's, Westmeath, they're playing at that higher level, you know, they have a bit more experience, but you know, we'll just have to take it game by game and try to do our best. So we can't really look too far ahead, because the games are coming so thick and fast. So it's really just about kind of getting the bodies right now this week to try to get going again for Offaly next week.
Just wondering, Sean, this match has changed to Trim, you know, how important is that playing in Trim? Does it mean anything?
Yeah, well, to the players, you know, everyone likes playing here in Trim. I suppose traditionally it would have been kind of called the home of hurling and Meath. So, but you know, look, as a player, once you're in the white lines there, it doesn't really matter what pitch you're on. It's nice to play in front of the home sport here today. So, we're happy to play anywhere, really.
How much of a disruption is it, though, change of management at this time of the year? You know, as a couple of weeks ago has happened.
Yeah, look, I can't really dwell on it now. You know, what's done is done. So we have the new guys in, and we're just willing to work hard for them and work hard for me. So.
Right, okay, Sean. Okay, we're off to you next week. So it doesn't get any easier.
Yeah, certainly be up against it again. But look, these are the games we want to play. You know, if Meath has ambitions of developing, you know, we've got to take the step up at some stage. You know, so look, we're looking forward to playing these games. There was a big gap between ourselves and Leash there today, but I know from myself, a few years hurling with Meath, I take these days ahead of, you know, the lower ranks or the lower competitions. So look, we'll just do our best for next weekend.
That was Sean Quigley speaking to the press after Meath's defeat to Leash at the weekend. Fair, Jimmy has left us for the second half of this podcast.
Yeah, Jimmy's a busy man, so Jimmy's back working in the Chronicle on he was meant to be only on a part-time basis, but he's back in full-time helping out in news, so we have to let him go back and do his news duties. But look, we'll keep cracking on. The Mead ladies were out again after their opening round win in the Leinster Championship against Leash. They were out again on Sunday. Much stiffer test expected against Kildare, but they survived.
They did indeed, and it was a good win. They got off to a cracking start. Kildare came back at them a little bit after half time, did a nice proper pusher, but it was Mead finished out the game really, really well there. And overall, I thought it was a really good overall team performance. One of the main takeaways for myself was how good, because I'm getting this, there's been a bit made about the turnover in players since the Hall Ireland win. So it was great to see the likes of Ellen Miles, who was on the panel only this year, Tira Smith, who was on the panel last year but wasn't really getting one. She's cemented her place there. These sort of players that coming through and filling that gap, it's not easy to find to replace seven or eight players there.
Yeah, well, you probably have, if you go through maybe Ony Sheridan, Nicole Troy, Niamh Gallogly was on the panel but in and out of the team. Lisa Young, Shelley Melia, Kira Smith, Ella Miles, Marion Farley. So that's eight of that team wouldn't have played or wouldn't have been regular starters or wouldn't have been even, some of them wouldn't even been on the panel when Mead were winning the All-Ireland just 3 years ago, 2021. Yeah. So it's a huge turnover. But in your interview, which we'll hear with Shane McCormick, he said, there's been a lot of turnover and it's good for Mead ladies football that there is fresh talent coming through, because they were in the doldrums. There was a golden age of players came through to win those All-Irelands. But it's good to see that conveyor belt is still producing good footballers.
Absolutely. And to be fair to Shane and his management team, it was a tricky job to go out into the county and find the players to replace what was there, because they had set a very high expectation there.
Mm-hmm.
And after the Kerry and Armagh defeats in the lead, I think a lot of people didn't think that Mead would have had a performance in them like they showed yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know?
Like the players they've lost, they weren't just big players. So you've lost all stars. You've lost Vicky Wall, Emma Troy, you've lost Niamh O'Sullivan, lost Orla Lally, lost Aileen Leahy, lost Captain Shauna Ennis. Bridgetta Lynch off that first year team. You know, there's seven or eight nailed on certain starters there gone, and they've had to be replaced. And that those two teams that won the All-Ireland between 2020 and 2021, there was very little change in those starting 15s. And even in players coming in, I'd say, there was only really 18, 19 players really used over them two games over those 2 years on a consistent basis. So when you've lost eight of them,
that's
massive. To be able to retain your position in Division 1, get to a Leinster final, which is now on the 12th of May against Dublin, even though they have to play Dublin again next Sunday anyway, but get to a Leinster final and be still considered one of the top four or five teams in the country at senior level with eight new players, I think that's very promising. And a lot of credit goes to Shane McCormick for that.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not just the start 15 there at the minute. Like, three good players that came on yesterday. Maeve Byrne, Ciara Lawler came on for the injured Anya Sheridan after about 15 minutes. Ashley McCabe came on. They're three great players who've been off the bench. Like, and they performed well as well. Like, do you know what I mean? In closing out the game.
Maeve Byrne and Ashley McCabe would have been part of a successful Leinster minor winning team in 2019. So they've gone, 5 years ago, so they went from 17 to 22, 23 year olds now, so they're only hitting their prime now. And there's others there as well, I'm sure, that were part of that Leinster minor, likes of Olivia Gore, who's on the panel, Shauna Lynch, who was on the panel. They were all part of the Leinster minor winning panel. Carla Keeley was a minor as well. Robin Murray is regarded as one of the the best goalkeepers in college football. She won a rising star this year as well. Yeah. Kerry Cole was on the panel, who's on this year's minor and regarded as one of the future stars of
captain for the minor team.
Captain for the minors, there's another eight or nine players on the bench that are more than capable, and hopefully we'll get to see them in Parnell Park next Sunday when they finish the Leinster senior championship group stage against Dublin.
Yeah, it's a bit of an opportunity there for me to try out some of them players, because obviously it's a dead rubber having Dublin annihilated Leicester and the week before.
You might want to go with your interviews if you go to them. You caught up with yourself and Davey Risman, I think, was it caught up with Mickey Brennan. We Are Mead, caught up with Mead manager Shane McCormick and Kira Smith as well.
That's right, exactly. Yeah. So we'll hear them there.
Look, it just goes to show it was one hell of a game. We always knew we were going to be in a battle here. You know, Kildare is a super team down through the years. I think last time I faced Kildare as a manager was an intermediate Leinster final in 2014 or 15. But you can see how far they've come, you know, in those years, you know, working down through divisions and from intermediate senior. So we always knew we were in for a battle, but we never gave up. In 10 minutes into the second half, they got a purple patch. We didn't panic. We kept possession and we kept working hard. And look, that's all I could ask for.
I suppose all the heavy lifting was done in that first half. A really good first half performance by Mead. And you left a couple of scores on the out there too in that first half.
Yeah, definitely left a couple of scores out there. Kind of happy enough now with the start of the first half and the last couple of games, especially last week with Leash. I think they scored a point after 15 seconds. So, you know, we said in the dressing room there at the start of the match, we needed a good start and we needed energy. And, you know, in fairness to the girls, that's what they gave us.
You mentioned that 10-minute spell that Kildare had from the 11th to the 20th minute. I think it was 5 unanswered points, and they brought them back to within 3 points. And as you said, your girls showed great character, never panicked, and then went on to hit the next 3 points just to put a bit of breathing space between the teams once again.
Yeah, look, as I said, you know, we knew they were always coming, going to come at us, like, you know what I mean? So it was good communication there in the back. They put a lot of pressure on our kickouts there as well, but, you know, they targeted that. But, you know, our girls kind of stood up there and, you know, they didn't panic. And, you know, we kept going to the end, you know, and that's the thing about Kildare. They'll always keep battling until the end. So, you know, we had to be on our toes there. They were going for goals there 2 or 3 minutes to go. So, look, just happy enough with the performance now at the result at the end of it.
And being an Allenwood man yourself, you know, what was it like out there today looking at Kildare coming up against your Mead team?
Yeah, look, as I said there, you know, I go back to that Leinster final. You know, I've come up against Kildare before, and we knew, like, they're an excellent team, and there's a great underage structure coming up in Kildare, and you can see that now over the last couple of years, and, you know, winning Division 3 and 2 and Intermediate. So, yeah, look, we were under no illusions, you know, that we're going to put a lot of pressure on us, you know, and look, we stood up and, you know, we played well there, so happy enough.
A lot of teams are probably using the blueprint of Mead from a few years ago, you know, going up through the divisions, going up through the championships and whatever, and Kildare are another one of those teams that are on the rise, and as you said, they were always going to put it up to you today. They're a team that are, you know, going to cause a lot of other teams problems this year.
Yeah, no, they will. You know, I think there was a stat there during the week with the Mead team of 2 years ago in the All-Ireland final, out of the 20 girls that played, we've only 6 or 7 there. So it just goes to show with our girls, we'll have to bring in 10 or 15 new girls, you know, from the club championships. And in fairness to them, you know they're the future, you know. And they're getting a lot of game time. Last week, 5 or 6 girls got their senior championship start, and, you know, 1 or 2 today. So that, look, it's all about going on towards the future here, but, you know, I'm just delighted with the result.
And you're talking about debuts, the game against Dublin next week in Parnell Park. I'm sure that'll give you a real good chance to give lots more debuts, because, of course, it's a dead rubber, because you will be meeting in the Leinster final now on Leinster final day in the doubleheader in Croke Park. So maybe next week it gives you a chance to give girls a bit of a run.
Yeah, well, you know, we've 32 or 3 girls, and they're all working extremely hard. You know, we could have put 10 or 15 more girls there, and they would have worked extremely hard as well. You know, yeah, we're playing Dublin next week, but winning builds momentum, and so, you know, we're going to work harder training this week, and look, we'll take the Dublin match and, you know, prepare for the Leinster final. But as I said, winning builds momentum, and that's what we're aiming for next week.
Thanks, Shane.
Right, Shane, just
The boys probably the challenge that you've got today, that was a great test for you today.
Huge test, you know, and that's what championship football is, you know. There's no easy matches, and I suppose with the four teams now competing in Leinster, Leash, Kildare, Dublin, Meath, you know, it's, you know, they're great matches, and that's what you want, you know. We've been working hard since November to this moment, in, you know, our championship time, so that's what you ask for, you know. There's no point in going out, you know, and... You know, if you're playing somebody and you're 20, 30 points or whatever, if it's a league or clubs or challenge matches, this is what you want, a good test. So we had a great test last week against Leash, a huge test today, and it'll be a bigger test against Dublin. But, you know, that's why you train since November for days like today.
And the contribution of some of the younger girls today was Ellen Miles and Kira Smith, and that really good. That must have been very pleasing.
Yeah, look, this is Ella's first year onto the panel. She had a super club championship, and you can see she's a super league there as well. And, you know, it's great to get game time, you know, at that level, you know, championship level. And the same with Kira, you know. It's like Kira's after playing a lot of matches with the college as well. So, you know, they work extremely hard, and that's all we can ask for.
And just having the Leinster final before the men's final, that's a big thing as well.
Super. It's a great carrot for any team starting training, you know, in pre-season, and knowing that, you know, the Leinster final appearance in Croke Park, and that's, in fairness to the girls, you know, it's one title we haven't achieved. And we said our stall at the start of the year was to try, firstly, you know, get over Leash and Kildare and obviously Dublin, and look forward to a Leinster final, and we've achieved that. So, look, I couldn't be happier for the girls.
But just after beating Kildare here in Park Tolchin, Leinster final beckons.
Yeah, no, I can't wait to get to Croke Park anyways, get at the Dubs again.
Well, you have a small thing of playing the Dubs next week as well.
Yeah,
because you have to play them in Parnell Park. It's obviously a dead rubber now. You've got two wins. Dublin will have two wins. So it'll probably be a chance to give yourself and a couple of the girls a rest, maybe.
Yeah, hopefully. So then we can, I don't know, just rest and get ready for the final, maybe. But the girls that will be playing, I'd say they'll put out some show for them anyways.
I was just talking to Colm there, the chairman, and he was saying that, like, this was always the carrot for yous as well. Chance to go out on Leinster final day in Croke Park, a doubleheader with the men's Leinster final. It's something special for you.
Yeah, that would be class. Like, at the start of the year, like, our one goal was to try get to the Leinster final. We were just taking it one game at a time, and we finally got there.
Kira, probably, you know, looking back at the league campaign, really good start to the league, and obviously the middle part of it didn't go well, but you've got that win against Cork the last day of the league. Is that something that has kind of driven you on, the fact that you've went through that poor spell, we'll say, through the league, in the middle of the league, and then got the win against Cork on the last day?
Yeah, if we didn't, it was good to get that win at the end. It really got us, like, and all the loot, like the loss before, really got us going and motivated for the Leinster anyways.
And I suppose the before your last game last week against Leash, you had a 4-week break. Shane was saying that you did lots of work, he's got loads of challenge matches in and stuff like that. It seems to have that the plan is coming together now.
Yeah, no, we definitely got the legs run out of us in that those 4 weeks, but it's worth it now, so it is. So
tell us about the training in those 4 weeks.
Well, it's just mass runs after mass runs, 2.4 k's, but it'll be all be worth it. So.
And where were those runs being done?
Oh, in Dungannie.
Yeah,
around the pitch.
Well, look, it's all paid off because he's retreated to the Leinster final now.
Yeah, thank God.
Well done.
Thanks very much.
Dear, can I just ask you, you seem to be really enjoying your football at the minute. Like you're even in the losses, you're putting a huge effort. Is that something that you're really enjoying at the moment, that you feel like you're playing very well with?
Well, at the moment, like last year, I wasn't really getting, like I was on the bench, and it's just really good to be starting this year, so I'm just trying to keep on the first 15, to be honest.
Yeah,
there's a lot of competition on the bench, so you just got to keep pushing yourself on the pitch.
And that competition is obviously a positive to keep.
Oh yeah, I know, it keeps everyone going, like high intensity of training and everything. Yeah, it's good.
Okay,
thank you very much.
That was Shane McCormack and Kira Smith speaking after Meade's victory over Kildare in the Leinster Championship on Sunday.
Yeah, so all roads lead to Croke Park for the minor ladies after next Sunday's game against Dublin. So the 12th of May, I knew we'd end up in Croke Park on Leinster final day. I never doubted it for a minute, but I knew it would be the ladies that would get us there. So, that, you know, it's good to get days out in Croke Park as a Meath supporter. It's
absolutely.
It's our second home. It's our spiritual home, I suppose, up there. And we like to get up there as often as we can. And hopefully there'll be more people in Croke Park for that game, especially when it's a Leinster final day with Dublin and Louth will be on. Yeah. So there could be 40,000 in Croke Park for the end of that game anyway.
Absolutely.
Although it's at 12 o'clock, I think,
on
the 12th of May. So it'd be
great to be going there with a live chance too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it's you know, Meath will be buzzing now going into the All-Ireland Senior Championship as well. So it should be good, but one team that's kind of a bit on a low at the minute, we mentioned they played last Wednesday night, were the Minor Footballers. They were beaten by Wexford, a late goal from Tom Funge. Hat-trick goal for Wexford, midfielder, knocked Meath out. Now, Meath weren't good in the opening half. Funge had got two goals, put Wexford in control. But then Meath dominated the third quarter and dominated nearly all the second half and recovered, I think, from being 5, 6, 7 points down to lead by a point going into injury time, and then Wexford got the goal. So that dumped Meath out at the preliminary quarter final stage of the Leinster. They go in now, I think they play in the I think it's the second year or third year of the All Ireland Minor Football, but you know, it's not where Meath football needs to be. We need to be better, competing better at that level. Although there is a conscious policy within Meath GAA that minor football, under 17 football in Meath, is to be developmental.
Okay.
So it's not all about women, according to the ideas that are being put out there. It's not all about winning. It's about developing footballers for our under 20s. So we want to be more competitive at under 20 level. And that policy is great. It's admirable. I can understand it. It's kind of what Dublin do at minor level. They bring their players through a minor. They develop them. They're not trying to make them the finished article and to win All-Irelands at minor level. They develop them through that so that they can produce players for the under 20s and senior team. And that's the line Meath are going down. But that approach then is in stark contrast to a decision that was made the previous week. This issue arises. There was an issue with a schools game that was played involving Boyne Community School in Trim against St Paul's and Raheny in a Leinster, could have been Leinster Junior Football Final, 6 days before that game against Wexford. And three of the Meath minor players are on that Boyne Community School team. So, from what we're led to believe, the three boys were reluctantly being allowed to play with their school in a Leinster final, which was a huge occasion for the school.
Massive.
It hasn't been a Leinster final, a provincial final at any grade of football for decades, since I was back in school and even before that. But they were being reluctantly allowed to play. They were, and then on the Thursday morning, which was the morning of the Leinster final, the call came to say that there was an agreement with the players' parents and the management of the Meath minor team that the three lads would only be allowed to play one half. So that put the players in a tricky situation, but the parents were in agreement. The management of the Meath minors put it to them and said, look, this is what we want to do. And of course the parents are going to say, yeah, whatever you want. They weren't going to stand up and say no, because they wouldn't know what the consequences would be for their kids that were playing. But young lads shouldn't be put in that position. If we're looking to develop young footballers, then the opportunity to play in Leinster finals with your school 6 days out from a preliminary quarter final of a competition that you've already been bet 2 out of 3 times in this year.
Yeah.
That shouldn't have been the time to stop them from playing, in my opinion. Where's the development of the player there? As it transpired, Boyne Community School, maybe when they were given, I'm using air quotes, given permission, which they shouldn't have had to been given, when they were given the permission to use those three players for one half, hindsight is a great thing. It's 20/20 vision for fools like me, you know. So the Boyne Community School played the three boys from the start. The three lads were excellent, raced into an 11-point lead at half time.
Yeah.
They had to take the three boys off. Yeah. St. Paul's Raheny must have came out laughing in the second half. Boyne were after taking their three best players off. And they came back and came back and came back and got a goal with the last kick of the ball to win by a point.
Yeah.
Right. So Boyne Community School lost the Leinster final. There were 23 or 4 other kids on that Boyne Community School panel that were denied a Leinster medal by having to withdraw those players. Now, you could say Boyne management could have said, you know, we won't start the three players, we'll hold on to them and see how we're going, and if we need them, then put them in, or else we'd start with two of them, try and get a position, take two of them off, then bring one of them on, and keep, try and balance the team, or start with one of them and bring two on to finish strong.
Yeah.
So, you know, hindsight again is 20/20 vision for fools, and it does make, when you reflect on it, say, well, why didn't they do this and why didn't they do that? But for me, those players shouldn't have been put in the position where they weren't allowed play a full game for their school in a Leinster scene, in a Leinster school's final.
Yeah.
And it brought the question to my mind of, if that request had been made of St. Pat's, who were competing in Leinster school's final on a regular basis, I wonder what response would they have got from Colm O'Rourke.
There's no way Colm O'Rourke
would have said, yeah lads, I'll take my three best players off.
Six days out.
The Mead under 20s, and the reason for playing them, I can understand the Mead minor management. They're thinking, well, we don't want to risk injury. We want to have our players fresh. We're playing Wexford, it's a preliminary quarter final. It didn't do them much good.
No,
they were wet. One of the lads was taken off at half time of the minor game. Another one was taken off early in the second half. So it had nothing to do with their performance for the school, which they could have won a Leinster medal.
Yeah.
But for me, the couple of things that is the 16-year-old shouldn't have been put in that position.
Absolutely.
If the policy of MGA is to use minor football and under 16 football to develop our players as footballers, then surely the best thing for them and for the county as a whole was that they play in the Leinster school's final. As it stands, they've nothing to show for the year now. Maybe they'll win this third tier All-Ireland football thing, and they'll say that justifies their the decision or whatever, but it simply doesn't.
And I can only kind of speak on this from a personal experience. Like my own club were taught when I was 17 or 18, they won a couple of minor club titles in a row and 21s and that. But we were told college won one All Ireland B final, I think that Ashford Community School was in.
Yeah.
And the buzz around the school at that time was just incredible.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like it was brilliant. Yeah. The lads who wouldn't really be involved were told GAA themselves, maybe they were soccer lads or rugby lads, they were getting behind you, and they're your colleagues in school, and you're having the crack with that around the final, and there's a big atmosphere around it.
Yeah.
So,
Can you imagine the buzz that those three boys, had they won that Leinster, would have bounced into training.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thinking this is great, and it waltzed into training, and everything would have got a lift. It would have been, at the top of their game, peak of their powers.
Yeah.
Everybody, a rising tide lifts all boats, and that would have really given the whole thing a boost going into the game against Wexford. Instead, that performance against Wexford was cat, apart from the 20-minute period. And Wexford aren't good, let me tell you.
Yeah.
Now, people say, Mead are where they are. We lost, hammered by Kildare in the first round, lost to Loud in the second round, managed to squeeze into a preliminary quarter-final with a decent victory over Westmead. But then you get bet by a Wexford team whose only win before that was against Carlow or Wicklow.
Yeah.
I think they'd lost to Carlow.
Yeah.
So this Wexford team were no great shapes. Now might be a blessing in disguise because Wexford now have to play Dublin. But again, Dublin treat the minor, as I said, as a developmental thing. For them, it's not about winning the Leinster. If they're good enough to win it within the structure that they're playing in, as a developmental team, then they'll happily take that title. But it's not the be-all and end-all for them, which is what it seemed to have been for Mead. that a preliminary quarterfinal against Wexford was the be all and end all. I feel sorry for the 20 odd players, other players on the Boyne team that didn't get their Leinster medals, and the management of the Boyne team that were put in a position where they had to make a decision to take off their three players at halftime. I know they could have made other decisions, maybe in terms of when to start and when, but they made their decision, and their decision was fully justified. They were 11 points up at halftime.
Yeah.
Now, they probably couldn't have envisaged a collapse in the second half, but that happens.
That happens, it does.
Yeah.
So
that's my rant over.
Yeah, very good. A bit of boxing news for us as well.
Yeah, young Ella Thompson from Summerhill won an All-Ireland medal last week. We will have a story about Ella and her journey to that success, not in this week's paper, in next week's paper. It's just a jam-packed paper, especially with the under 20 final on tonight. We'll hold on to that story for next week. But people might remember Ella Thompson. She was on the Late Late Toy Show, I think, 1 year, and her dream was to meet Katie Taylor, and Katie Taylor was brought out to meet her on the Late Late Toy Show, and Katie Taylor promised her a sparring session, which she did have with her when she was a kid. So it's good to see that she's fulfilling that potential that she had as a young person, and the drive that she wanted to be an All-Ireland champion when she was a kid, that now she's an All-Ireland champion, still only very young, I think, still only maybe 17 or 18, I'm not 100% sure. Jimmy has all the details on it, but it's good to see a bit of success at local level in boxing. And, you know, with success again, so Gordon Elliott had a couple of winners. I see the Smith family from Kilmessan, Matthew Smith, and he had a winner in James Smith, and they had winners in Downpatrick. Over the weekend as well. So, you know, the usual quote of success for Mead connections.
Yeah, former county councillor in Dunboyne, Noel Leonard as well, he had a winner as well over the weekend.
Right,
For Chris Timmons was training that horse for him as well. So as well, local Mead winners there at the weekend.
Yeah, well, that's it. One thing's for certain, Tom, is we're never short of stuff to talk about on the podcast.
Yeah.
Once I get rambling on, these things tend to drag on. So we might leave it there. There is plenty on at the weekend. Mead and Offaly in that Joe McDonagh Cup. Get the trim on Saturday if we can to support the Mead hurlers. It is a difficult time, and it's now that they need the support more than ever. The Mead senior footballers will know their fate tomorrow in who we're playing in in the draw for the Salmon Choir.
I seen your tweet about that. It's ridiculous not having that on the Sunday game, isn't it?
Don't understand why. I know, and Nullig O'Neill Ford came back and said, well, you know, there isn't really the time on the Sunday game because it's a highlights programme, but they could have done it after the live game, like they do the FA Cup final draws. But so Meath will face a provincial champion, a provincial runner-up, and a third seed team in the All-Ireland qualifiers. Now the first game, I think, is going to be against the provincial runner-up, and that is going to be away from home.
Okay,
our first game, our second game is going to be against the provincial winner, which will be the first seed, that's going to be at home. And our third game is against the third seed, and that will be at a neutral venue. So, you know, there's all sorts of permutations there. And
so there's no ties in with Leinster and Zilda.
You can get, the only one, I think, you can't have repeats of the provincial finals. So Dublin can't be drawn in the same group as Leinster.
Yeah, okay.
But Meath can be drawn in the same group as Dublin.
Yeah,
even though we have played them, so
touch wood, we don't.
Touch wood. Well, look, I think, you know, the likelihood is that the four provincial champions, well, they're definitely going to be Dublin. It's definitely going to be Kerry. It's more than likely going to be Donegal, and it's more than likely going to be probably Galway.
That's
a possible coin, really. And then the losers of those, so they're the top seeds. So then you've got Loud, and Cork, Loud and Clare.
Yeah,
as the C2, and the losers in Ulster and the losers in Connacht.
Yeah,
and then now I haven't got any of these written down in front of me. So your C3s then are going to be your your Monaghan, Derry, Roscommon.
Yeah,
Monaghan, Derry, Roscommon, and who?
Yeah,
Tyrone.
Yeah, so,
C3 team. They're not easy. Mm. The teams we can't obviously get are Cavan, Down, and Westmead, I think. they did three team and ourselves. We're all in the pot.
We're all pot four.
On our seed four. So yeah. So look, at it's our fate in that will be known tomorrow on GA.ie at 3 o'clock. Paper will be gone to bed by then. So
yeah,
get that info up on our website for you as soon as we have it. Yeah, so then the Meath ladies footballers are out on Sunday against Dublin in the final round of the group stages of the Leinster, as a kind of a warm-up match for the Leinster final on the 12th of May. There's nothing, the rugby season's nearly done, the soccer season has started up, waiting for that to really kick off. Big game last weekend, Trim Celtic, I think, beat Park Villa, so that was the first of the local rivalries in the Premier Division in the NEFL. But other than that, it's quiet.
After all that. Yeah. Listen, we leave it there so far.
Tom, thank you.
And thanks for joining us again. This has been Talk a Good Game.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've listened to another edition of the Meath Chronicle Sports Podcast, Talk a Good Game. Say hi!